Heute ist der 10. Oktober und gestern startete die türkische Regierung eine Offensive gegen die Demokratische Föderation Nord- und Ostsyrien, die auch als Rojava bekannt ist. Das Ganze ermöglichte die amerikanische Regierung, da sie ihre Truppen aus dem Gebiet abgezogen haben. Zuvor kämpften sie aber Seite an Seite mit der YPG gegen den IS. Die YPG ist die Volksverteidigungseinheit und gilt als bewaffneter Arm der kurdisch-syrischen Partei der Demokratischen Union. Dort sind nicht nur Kurden in den Einheiten, sondern auch Araber und Freiwillige aus der ganzen Welt. Ich spreche mit Clara. Sie ging als Internationalistin freiwillig in diese Region und schloss sich dort der YPG an. Das ist die Frauenverteidigungseinheit, also eine Einheit, die nur aus Frauen besteht. Clara, why did you decide to go to Rojava?
So, I decided to go to Rojava because I had read about the struggle. I had met people from there, and I was really fascinated by the revolution there and what is happening there, and the resistance against the also against the Islamic state. So I had before in my life been organizing, trying to organize in ways. Trying to change things that I saw that there was problems in, and I saw that in Rojava they are really making this happening. So they were organizing the society in as equal way as possible, showing that there's also other ways organizing than in a capitalist society. And more communal way, also ecological way, and what also really drew my attention was the women's liberation. So all the struggle there is based to the woman's liberation. And all this got my interest, and I felt like I want to go and see how it is. I want to learn from it, but also I want to make my contribution, because for me it was an inspiration to try to create a different life based on my values in Europe. So I felt I want to also contribute to that struggle in Rojava and also help to defend it.
But during the time you went there, there was the Islamic State, like also called Daesh. And wasn't you afraid of going there? Because like many people got killed, even in Germany, there was one girl who got killed. Her name was Ivana Hoffmann. Maybe you knew about it and had this in mind?
Yeah, so of course, unfortunately, this struggle for the revolution and against the fascism has like taken many lives. But this, I think, shouldn't be a thing that is stopping us from struggling. So actually, from these people, we should get even more more energy to continue our fight and to make it happen what they were fighting for. You know, I feel like we kind of owe it for them. You know. So, of course, I had this in mind, but at the same time, like I said, it was more like a thing that made me more sure about that I need to do this.
So you grew up in Europe and you didn't have like much contact like in your family with Kurdish people?
So I became familiar with the Kurdish struggle through my political action before, so we realized that actually we share a lot with the Kurdish people's struggle, and that way also I get to know our Kurdish people, and we noticed that actually we're struggling for the same thing, free society.
Did also your parents agree with you, or wasn't they afraid that you go there? Because in the media there was a lot of bad news about it and it was really, really risky. Did your parents or friends say, maybe, Clara, don't go there?
Yeah, for sure. People were also concerned. And but with after, you know, having a lot of discussions, I think also most of my family and friends understood that this is something very important, and also then respected my choice, which is really nice. And the support is a lot, means a lot. And I think this is one important point that that also we don't maybe easily think about when we are from Europe, where we many people didn't have to grow in a violent like war environment. That for us it's also we don't have to think about these kind of things. But that in some places, like for example in Rojava, it's not an option to, you know, there you maybe have to take up arms because you need to defend yourself, unfortunately, and you can't make the decision not to do it because someone is attacking. So I also felt that it's our responsibility as well here to fight against the. Against Daesh, and also to defend this revolution that can be answer not just for, you know, the Middle East, but also for Europe.
You said there's a revolution. Could you describe how life is there in Rojava?
So the everyday life, it's kind of normal, you know, like anywhere. Of course, the place is, the culture is very different than in Europe, and the cities, the villages are smaller, the life is very collective. But, you know, you can still feel the ideas of the revolution everywhere. So, for example, the position of women has changed a lot, and this kind of values that values of equality and this living together with all kinds of people. So the area is like traditionally already very like how to say multicultural, or there's very many different ethnicities. And the whole idea of the revolution is that that all these ethnicities, all these different religions can organize together to live together, which in many places in world and in Middle East also has been before very difficult. But now they're really, they have shown that this is possible. So there's the daily life is normal, but then there's the communities are organized. So the idea is that the communities has as much all the power to decide of their own things. So the communities meet in meetings and decide about things concerning their lives. And then there's upper meetings where people talk about more, you know, common things concerning a larger area. But the idea is that, you know, from the, let's say, like, upper meetings, the decisions made there cannot be made without the approval of the local communities. And none of those rules or whatever decisions are made cannot apply to the local communities unless the local communities accept them. In a simple way, but also this the way of decision making, for example, and the way people organize there is constantly in change. So of course, like when people see that something is not working out, then people want to make a change. But this whole thing is based on this idea of living together in an equal way. So everyone should have their voice. To the women's liberation and also ecology. So taking in concern the environment, and that actually humans, we are part of the environment.
You mentioned a lot the woman liberation over there. The problem that I have in mind is there was Daesh, like the Islamic State, and this is something like was also a war against women. And did all people agree with you with women liberation?
Yeah, so before, if you look at the ARI, they're for sure, let's say it's been very, I don't know, conservative, feudal. And especially during Daesh, there was, you know, women couldn't go outside alone. They always needed to be a man or a boy with them, and they couldn't go without covering their body completely. I know some girls who, you know, families that they didn't let their women out because also it was just dangerous, so they couldn't go out for years. And of course, yeah, this was also against many people's will, you know. Also, there are still, of course, this kind of feudalism, not similar kind of, but still, you know, very different from here. But what I seen that, you know, also we can think that what woman liberation mean that many people maybe think that in Europe, I mean, women are liberated because they can, you know, walk on the street with wearing whatever, or, you know, they can work wherever. But also this is not the idea of the like the women's movement there. That of course this is part of it, that you have to be able to work wherever you want. But more than that, it is also trying to find our own way as a woman. So realizing that, you know, all of our lives we've been, every one of us has been like under this. Like male, or let's say like patriarchal patriarchy, and how this has affected us. So, for example, certain things in the society are more respected than other things, and that's how also we are organizing the society according to these more respected things, you know. So the idea is also for the women's movement and the women's liberation to find the own way as woman, what it means, what it can be, what can we be without those ideas. And that's also why the whole organizing of the society is based on that idea, because actually values like you know, values like motherly love kind of towards everyone, you know, are the ones that are actually keeping our the society together, and that's the direction where we want to go. So yeah, still, of course, many people, like I said, live in this bit like feudal mindset, but there has been a big change happening that just the respect towards women, for example. That's something that I really feel. And other thing is, of course, YPG, which is the Women's Defense Forces. So this is like offering the space for women to kind of develop themselves and to, you know, to try to find out what is this thing, you know, behind all this patriarchy, behind the roles the society has put on us. And also there it's very important because it's giving for the girls and for the women a different way of living. So for some girls still, the future can be a bit narrow. Only, you know, you are seen only as a future wife, for example. But YPG has been also then offering like a other kind of future.
Isn't there a problem with religious movements over there? Like, for example, the people were like in an Islamic state, so I guess many people are also like religious. And is there a problem? Like, do they agree with you and still believe in God, or is there something like, oh no, we don't want have religions over here?
Ah, no, that's also important that that, you know, you can believe in whatever you want. And that's actually seen also something beautiful, you know, because sometimes that belief is some, it's a big part of people's life there for many people, not for all. There's all kinds of religions there. And the idea is that, you know, everyone can have their religion and can practice it in peace. And it doesn't cross with the others. And this is something I see there and it's very beautiful.
If the YPG or like the Kurdish people recapture a city from Daesh and now take the control of the city, how did they start to change the thinking of the people?
I think many people, you know, also that were living under Daesh weren't actually agreeing with the with their ideas. So many people, maybe you have seen pictures of, you know, people being very happy and relieved, throwing away all the flags of Daesh and the clothes. And so actually many people were already supportive and knew about the ideas also of the revolution. But of course, there's always people who don't agree. And this is also one point, that there also always needs to be space also for these people who don't agree. But then also, of course, a lot of work is done on the ground level of talking to people, you know. So the life there is very communal. So, for example, people from YPG go to the families and talk to the families, the mothers and the fathers of the women, tell about YPG and, you know, how is the life. And by this also the ideas of the revolution has been spreading.
If you see like pictures of the battle, you see a lot of women fighting in the front. Can you explain why a lot of women join the fight? Because in the normal army, they're like more men. And over there, it seems like they're like more women.
So this especially, I think for women, it was really important to join the fight against Daesh. And of course now, against the Turkish state, because in the end, the Turkish state has been also supporting the Daesh. And, you know, the ideology of Daesh is, it's especially, or the war they make, as well as the now the Turkish state that wants to, you know, make Daesh in power again, or the Islamist gangs, is especially war against women. So for this reason, of course, many women felt that we need to fight, you know, who would defend us, you know? Of course, it's women, it's us who need to defend ourselves. So for this reason, the woman took up arms. And already before that, especially, you know, Kurdish women, they already had these ideas, and they didn't want to accept this, you know. And now there's just more and more, for example, Arabic women joining YPG.
So they're not only Kurdish people fighting in there, so they're more, they are also like a lot of people from Europe, America, and also Arabic people. And do you think like this is more like an international conflict? Or like, do you think it's more like an international battle where a lot of people like come there and think it's more about the revolution or the ideas behind it? Or do you think it's more like a free Kurdistan?
For sure, it's an international fight, because the whole, it's not about, first of all, it's not just about like nation. So in Rojava, they don't want a nation state. Kurdistan, this is not the part, but the fight has been from the beginning very international. And this is, it's based on this idea that, you know, people want to organize in smaller communities and not in a nation state, because also people have learned from the history. So we see, for example, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, that they were like kind of, they were made nation state, but like forced nation states. And you see how all of these areas, there's so much, has been so much conflict, so much war, and it's really not working. So for this reason also, people want to try a new way of organizing. And for this reason also, it's something that we can, you know, we can see that could work in other places in the world as well. And the values that the revolution is based on, so women's liberation, ecology, are something that we also need in other places of the world. So now we are facing a big environmental crisis everywhere in the world. And the real question, I think, is that how can we, you know, answer that with the system we now have? Because the system we now have has created this huge environmental problem. So we need a big change in the system. We need a big change in our mindsets. And this is something that the revolution in Rojava is truly trying to create and has been put to practice as well. So for this reason also, it's really international fight, and we need also people from other countries going there or learning from there and spreading the ideas.
Do you think that this is also something that could happen in Europe?
I think we can't like copy paste revolution, and it's not needed the same way as it has been done. It has been done there. Maybe the same way it wouldn't work here, because we have a different culture. We have in many countries. Also, Europe is a big area with very different cultures. We have different geographies, etc. So of course we should think that, okay, how should the change happen in here? But I totally think that there are aspects that we really can learn from the way they organize and from the way people live there. So for example, it's not like an academic revolution. It's not about what you read, but it's more about putting into practice to what you believe in. And this is really something really beautiful there. So by showing how you live, you also inspire other people to change.
Yesterday, Turkey attacked Rojava. Did you saw this coming?
Yeah, so unfortunately, everyone actually were already waiting for it, because we know that the Turkish government and the president Erdogan has been having this war against the Kurdish people for many, many years, and especially in the Bakur, in the North Kurdistan, in the area of Turkey. There has been a long history of oppression against the Kurdish people. And this is it's a really important point to acknowledge that what is happening there is fascism. And Erdogan has been practicing an ethnic cleaning of Kurdish people. And now he wants to widen this fight also to Rojava, Kurdistan, because it's a threat to him that, you know, in the way Erdogan wants to, the model Erdogan wants is a fascist model, and he sees that in Rojava there has been in the northeast Syria, people have been able to create something totally opposite to fascism. So of course he sees this as a threat, and for these reasons he's not gonna let go of his idea to invade Rojava, unfortunately. So for this reason, people were really already waiting for the attack and preparing for it.
So now, as the Turkish government attacked northern Syria or Rojava, you might have bigger issues over there than before, in the fighting before against Daesh, because the Turkish government has more opportunities. There was an international call to go there and fight for the revolution, as you said, and to fight against Daesh. Do you think there will be also a call to go there? Because I think many people would be really afraid to go there, because now it's like an actual war, which seems like really, really hard to fight.
Yeah, so it's important to see that actually already Daesh was supported by the Turkish government. So there's a lot of information, a lot of proof about, for example, Turkey giving weapons for them and also letting them cross the border. So they have been able to come to Syria through Turkey and also go to Europe through that same border. So actually, now the fight is not different, you know? The goal is that what would happen in Rojava if Daesh wins, or, you know, if Turkey comes, invades, it's the same result. So now, actually, the fight is not so different. Of course, we are facing bigger weapons. We are facing military and NATO military supported by many European countries selling weapons to them, to Turkish state. And but also it's good to remember that the fight against Daesh in the beginning was very, very difficult in that area. And also it looked that Daesh would win. So for example, also the war in Kobane 2015 was very, very difficult, and Erdogan said that Kobane would fall in 3 days, but it didn't. In the YPG won that battle. So also we need to really believe to the resistance and to support it. So of course now the struggle needs a lot of support, and I believe that that many people also want to still go there, and it is also very needed. And I think the important thing really is now to see it as our fight as well. So we are not supporting the revolution there because we just want to, you know, save the people there or something like this. But it is our fight as well. We can see that that the life in Europe, for example, we have very different problems here than in there, but that there are many problems here as well. And for example, inequality, poverty, but also just this like huge depression and anxiety that people are feeling, that I believe strongly comes because we are not living by our values. Our like capitalist culture, our society is really preventing us to live by our values. And in Rojava, they have proved that another way of living is possible, that we here don't really believe in, that there's another way of living than we live now. But in Rojava, I've seen that it is put to practice. So for that reason, also, we should support the fight there.
What do you mean with there's not only their fight, it's our fight too.
So first of all, of course, fascism is a threat for the whole humanity. So we need to fight against the fascism of the Turkish state and Daesh. But then also this that seeing the value of ourselves so that our lives could be much better as well, that we can be our we can be much more than we are now, believing into a different future. And this is something that we don't have to go to Rojava also to do, but we can also fight a lot from here. So of course, spreading information about Rojava, reading more about it, and helping now to save this revolution. So putting pressure to the international community to stop this war is important, and also just ourselves changing our lives to the direction we want to go, that we see is the right way to go. So just taking, really starting to live the way we think, what we put, things that we truly value over, you know, profit gain or material things, you know, that our lives could be, I believe our lives could be here also so much more.
So in Germany or like all over the world, a lot of people are on the streets because of climate change. And right at the beginning, you mentioned like the ecological thing about Kurdistan. Would you think that what the revolution is, or how do you think how the world is like, or like the communities are organized? Do you think this could be like the solution of it?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is the mindset change. So I don't think we can fix this problem or the same way we caused it. So, you know, with capitalism, that now we just have to start by more ecological things or things like that. But it needs a bigger mindset change of seeing ourselves, first of all, seeing ourselves part of as the of the nature. And this way of really living like that. So living in harmony with ourselves, with our, you know, community, with other people, with other ethnicities, with other religions, and with the nature, with the environment. And this really, I still I just don't see happening here, because now our values are, you know, put to for example, gaining as much material as possible, or fame or status, for example. And these are, we can think that, okay, this is not what I believe in, and I live in a different way. But we need to be able to truly put it to practice and to organize with everyone around us. So also not to just isolate ourselves to our own safe bubbles, living, buying ecological things, and, you know, but kind of trying to really reach out to other people as well, to your neighbors, to whatever, and start creating like a common life.
And how do you think that the mindset will change?
I think it starts that we need to first start believing into ourselves and into something totally different, and stop believing what we are teach in schools. And really, of course, start questioning, but also, start practicing the empathy that everyone has, inside, actually. Stop believing that humans are just cruel and not capable of, living together. And then putting that in practice in your own life. So one really important thing also in the revolution there is that we really want to change ourselves. And there's different tools, for example, in Rojava, they use for this even, different kind of meetings and stuff. And this work is really, really important that really... to see how the society has affected to us on personally, and then trying to see what's beneath that, and trying to then change ourselves according to that.
What was the hardest thing to learn when you were there?
Probably one of the hardest things was maybe accepting kind of how this society has made me be in a way, how it has affected me. So for example, just very simple everyday life things, how I treat other people, how I am, how I am with other people, and how sometimes passive, I am, or how, let's say, it's easy not to care. And I think this is totally something that it's not natural in a way. I think there is this, we all care in some ways, but sometimes we are protecting ourselves from hard emotions and not caring, and also something this culture nowadays teaches us that you should only care about yourself and your own future, and work for yourself, and so sometimes it's hard to notice this, that this affects on yourself, and also how hard can the change be, to kind of let go of many, many things, of course, emotional things on yourself as well as physical things. So also I think the way we are living we need some kind of change on that.
Okay, thank you very much for the interview. Is there anything, is there anything that you want to say?
Yeah, just there's no such a thing that we couldn't do. So we just should believe in ourselves, and that we can create a different way of living.